Would he?
Amen.
Well, that's something we need to ask ourselves, ain't it?
Amen.
Hey, man, if you got your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Song of Solomon. Where's that at, preacher? You've got Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes, and you got the Song of Solomon right before the book of Isaiah, the book of the Song of the Solomon. Stand with me, if you will. Stretch out your legs. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Heard a good message this morning. Good singing. Good spirit. Good to see everybody that's here in the house of the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I had this on me all week long. And I'm going to preach here today. Wednesday night, I felt impressed in my heart and mind. Let Brother Gary preach and take care of the meeting. Brother had a lot of lost people here, and I'll tell you what, they was really moved in the service. You never know. And I just really didn't have liberty to preach what God had laid on my heart. And God burned this on my heart to preach all week long. So somebody in here needs to, preacher, you say that every week. Well, if you think that a man that preaches just gets up here this morning, this first time I've opened my Bible, and the pixie dust is going to go by and sprinkle on me, and I'm going to dance a jig for you, you don't know what preaching's all about. You really don't. God puts a message on you and burns something on you to preach and give to the people to try to help them. God's going to speak to you through the preached word. Oh, amen. Second Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 14, "Oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely." Verse 15, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Look at verse 15 again. "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." You can be seated this morning. The Bible says that Solomon wrote over 1,005 songs. It says that in the book of Kings. And one of his songs is this book that I just read to you here called The Song of Solomon. And brother, it's a love letter is what it is. If you want to read a love letter, Solomon is writing a love letter to a Shulamite woman.
Yeah.
And he goes all the way through the stages of their love. And it's a song. It's a love song. It's a beautiful song. You got to be spiritually minded when you read the Song of Solomon and pick up what God is saying, because there's a deeper truth there, Brother Garrett, about the love that Jesus Christ has for His church. How much love that God has in His heart for His church. That's why I really get offended when people kick around the church, when people dismiss the church and don't think the church is important. The only thing that's helping hold our little community together, the only thing that's keeping the wheels on this thing is the local New Testament church and the Spirit of God and God's people in our community. The only thing keeping some of you alive is, listen, the local New Testament church. Brother Ricky, it's real vital in your life. It's vital in your family's life, the local church. But on a deeper level of that, it's about individually Jesus' love for you individually. And it begins to tell tales, and it begins to use language to describe that love that He has. And in the second chapter, He says, "Hey, take us the foxes, Brother Jamie, the little foxes that come in and spoil the vines." What are you saying? Those grapes that grow on those vines would produce grape juice and bring grape joy. Hey, listen, grapes and wine all through the Bible speak of joy. Now, I'm not talking about drinking alcohol. That's not what that means. Jesus never drunk fermented alcohol. He didn't do it. Hey, listen, He drunk grape juice. He would not drink fermented wine. Listen, that's leaven. Listen, He wouldn't do that. So don't let somebody that wants to give an excuse for their alcoholism or an excuse for their drinking use that verse, because it's not true. And if you do that, then you're doing what the brother preached about this morning. Then you're taking God's Word and you're twisting it to meet your own flesh and your own lust desires. Are you listening? But grapes all through the Bible represent joy. Listen, Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it said the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy is different than being happy. Hey, listen, happiness is based on what's going on in your life. And listen, and we all get down and out, and we all go through problems, and we get unhappy. But I'm talking about joy, Jeff Mullins. When you get saved by the grace of God, that God settles as a fruit of the Spirit, a joy, unspeakable joy down in your life. Now, if I'm your enemy, the devil, and I'm going to attack you, and I know what your strength is, I want to try to get rid of your joy, wouldn't I? I want to try to do something with that joy in your life. Because if I can attack that joy, that's your strength in the Lord, then I've got you. If I can get you weakened down in your joy and get that strength from you, Trent Van Hoos, then I got you. So Solomon writes, take us to spot foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. That fox is real sly. He comes in real smooth and real slick, and he eats off all the grapes. David Blackburn, he just don't eat what grapes he wants. He'll eat all the grapes on the vine. He'll take a bite off this one and a bite off that one and spoil the whole vine. A little old sly small foxes that look so cute. You know, like some of the little sins that slide into your life that look so cute. And you'll say something like this. Well, that's not that bad. That's just something little. That's not bad to let that play around in my life. I'm telling you, that's the way the devil works, Woody. He comes in real sly. He comes in real smooth. And he comes right in and starts eating away at your joy. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I've lived this thing. And some of you are in there right now. And the devil's come on in. And you thought it looked cute. Or you thought it was just a small thing. And he's eat away on the grapes on your vine. And you're sitting here today. And you have zero joy in your life. Saved by the grace of God. But you don't have an ounce of joy because you've let the little foxes. Oh, he said, take us. In other words, catch them, Brother Jamie. The little foxes that come in jail and spoil the whole vine. What are you preaching on, preacher? I'm preaching on you and I. I need to be aware of some little things, Jamie Newsom, that'll come through the vineyard and get on the vine and get a hold of the grapes and cause you to lose the joy in your life. And my mind begins to think about some little things that happens within a congregation of people that slides into their life that ends up robbing them of your joy.
Amen.
Now listen to me. You come in with a smile on your face. You come in with your churchy clothes on. But all week long, you ain't had an ounce of joy, brother. You've struggled. You put along all week long. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you some things this morning why that you've lost your joy. I'm going to tell you some little things that you viewed as little that have come into your vineyard, Jason Bird, and spoiled the vine and ate some of your grapes. And now you're sitting here today. And you have no joy in your life. You remember the joy that you used to have? It's went away because some things have come in and got a hold of the vine and ate off the grapes and have spoiled the vine. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, here's one of them right here. Little Misses.
Yeah.
Little Misses. You know, he said, let us take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. That means every day they had to go out and check the vine. Brother, if they didn't go out and check the vine every day, they'd miss the day, Brother Jamie. And see, you could go out one day and say, we need to seal up something here. There's something getting in our vineyard, and it's starting to eat on these grapes. Hey, listen, but if you like going out, if you just took you a few days off, it just keep going and keep going and keep going. Are you listening to me? Little missus. You know, like in the book of John, chapter 20, after Jesus rose from the dead, all the disciples did what they always did. They went in the upper room and they said, they didn't know if Jesus was going to show up or not. And there they was. They was assembled together right there in the upper room. And all of a sudden, out of the midst, Jesus comes through the door. Hey, listen, but you know who wasn't there? Thomas wasn't there. And he had to go 8 days and them testifying to him and saying, boy, what a wonderful service we had. What a wonderful time we had. Jesus really showed up. I really got some help in my life. Oh, but Thomas said, I'm not going to listen. I believe it unless I see his hands and the nail prints in his hands and his throat where they thrust the spear in his side. Hey, Thomas went 8 days with no joy, with no peace, because he thought it was a little thing to miss when they gathered up for service. Now, I know we got folks out today with their families on vacations and things, and there's not a thing wrong with that. And I know there's times in our life when we get sick, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it don't take the whole family to blow Junior's nose. Amen? Amen. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. And I get on this all the time. But you just keep on missing. It's just prayer meeting night. That's just a little old night. We don't need prayer meeting night. It's just Sunday school. Let's blow Sunday school off. It don't mean nothing. Hey, it's just a little miss. Hey, they're having service down there on Saturday night. That's just a little miss. Let's just blow that off. Hey, they're down there at a funeral. I'm preaching a man's funeral. That's just a little miss. Let's blow it off. I don't feel too good today. It's just a little miss. Let's just blow it off. And then the next thing, bless God, I spend 4 hours with you because you got no joy in your life because you missed out on the meeting.
Amen.
It's just a little thing. Hey, it's just church. No big deal. It's just church. Now listen to me. If you went to a church where they just shotgunned around, Nathan, and I've named you Nathan, if you just went somewhere where they just shotgunned around and talked about the same old thing, but at this church we try to preach something different. At this church we try to follow the Lord. Are we perfect? No. But I tell you what, I'd get me somewhere and park my tail in it and listen to the preacher and grow, because I didn't want my vines to get spoiled.
Amen.
Are you listening to the preacher? It's just a little miss. It's amazing to me. It's just a little miss. Just blow it off. God's people down here praying for you. God's man down here preaching to you. We're on these altars praying, God help you. It's just a little miss. Hey, we're fighting the devil off by the truckload. It's just a little miss. And we'll say, ain't no grave going to hold me down but a bed sheet. Bless God. Ties you down. Hey, listen to me. It'll steal your joy. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You might as well just say, amen. It's just, it's preaching. The little fox, it's a little miss. It is, ain't Brother David? Blow it off. It's just a little miss. Who do I say has the most problems in church, brother? Who has the most problems in their Christian life? People that don't come to church much. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Kevin, you don't understand. Hey, I work a 40-hour job. I've got 2 teenage daughters. I've got a wife. I run all over the place, too. I deal with idiots all day long, just like you do. Hey, listen to me. I've got responsibilities. And besides that, I preach 2 or 3 times a week somewhere else. Don't tell me I don't know. Hey, listen to me. You need to be in church.
Amen.
It's just a little miss. It's just a little. I don't feel good, Brother Kevin. You think I do? I got people that pay money for my MRIs. Get their jaw, whatever.
But,
amen. I got people, Adam, that'd love to have my x-rays.
It's just a little miss.
Amen.
They just blow it off, Glenn. It don't matter. And I ain't got no joy neither. I ain't got no joy. It's just a little miss. Well, let me get to another one here. Let me get to another one. I've done lost you on the first one. You know what will steal your joy, Brother Gert? In the book of Acts, chapter 15. Brother, I mean, they're having church. The churches are growing. People's getting saved. Hey, listen to me. God's using the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And in Acts chapter 15, the Bible says, oh, Paul goes to Barnabas. And he says, hey, Barnabas, let's go check on our brethren. Let's go check how we're doing, where we've been preaching at. And Barnabas says, that sounds like a good idea, Paul. Let's go. He said, hey, while we're going, let's take John Mark with us. I want to take John Mark. Paul said, I'm not. No. Paul said, I'm not going to take John Mark. Because when I went down to Pamphylia, John Mark slid out on me, and I'm not taking him. But listen, Barnabas said, I want to take John Mark. And Paul said, no. And the Bible said that they got in such a fight, or the contention become so great, that they split up. Did they split up over doctrine? No. They split up over their personalities. They split up over that disagreement. And Paul said, I'm going to take Silas. And Barnabas said, I'm going to take John Mark. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Something that will get your joy? Little misunderstandings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I've been preaching too long. I've been in church too long. Oh, listen to me. They'll get upset because their seat. They'll get upset because this. Listen to me, dear people. God don't care what color carpet is in this building. Are you listening? God don't care what color ceiling tiles that we got. God don't care if we got pews or chairs. He don't really care. But you know what God cares about? How you and I get along about the carpet. How you and I get along about the pews. How you and I get along about the chairs. And a little misunderstanding between people, I can't rob you of your joy. Are you listening? You say, preacher, I know. I'm glad you got off that missus part and got all misunderstandings. Well, if you'd come a little bit, you'd have a misunderstanding. Amen. Hard not to have a misunderstanding if you don't show up. Amen.
Amen.
I read about a peacemaker in a church. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, you ought to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. You ought to be a peacemaker, right? Two men, two good brothers in a church got in a little scuffle, a little argument about something silly. And it's always about something silly. Two men, and they end up getting in hostility. They end up getting animosity about it. They still come to church like a lot of you. Can't speak to some of your family. Mad at somebody right now. But you'll sit here, thank God. I love you, preacher. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen to me. And the man said, I'm talking about how to be a peacemaker. It's a true story. This went on. They'd sit on one side of the church. They'd sit on the other. There's a dear brother in there that was friends with both of them. And he said, you know what? I'm going to try to help this situation. So you know what he done? He went to one week, and he said, hey, I'm going to use David, for example. He said, hey, what do you think about David? He said, I can't stand him. He said, he got a big mouth. He runs it on me. We get in fights all the time. He said, I really can't stand him. He said, well, now, wait a minute. You're going to have to admit David does love his family. He said, well, I mean, yeah, he loves his family. He said, okay. So the next day, he went to the man that David was having the problem with. And he said, Nathan, what do you think about David? David, he ain't worth 2 cents. He runs his mouth all the time. He always wants his way. He said, but you know, I was talking to him yesterday about you. He said, yeah, right. I bet he had some good things to say. He sure did. He said that you loved your family. He said, really? He said, yeah, now what do you think about him? I still don't care much for him. He said, well, you're going to have to agree he's honest, right? Well, yeah, I'll give him that. He is honest. The next day, the peacemaker went back to David. He said, hey, I was talking to Nathan yesterday, buddy. He said, you was an honest, good man. He said, really? He said, yeah.
They come to church Sunday, listen to me, where that peacemaker had went to one and talked about the good things that the other had said and went to the other. They come together and they had, listen, they was having a little bit of fellowship. And God said, blessed are the peacemakers. And we have let little misunderstandings rob us of joy.
You're going to have misunderstandings in your home. Don't think if you serve God that you're just going to have an Ozzy and Harriet. Listen to me. Y'all watch too much Little House on the Prairie. Too much Brady Bunch. Amen. Don't think, listen to me, don't think just because you go to church and are saved that you're going to have an Ozzy and Harriet lifestyle. You're going to have little misunderstandings within your home. You're going to have little misunderstandings on your job. You're going to have, listen to me, don't be a hypocrite. Come to church and say, God, help me to get along with somebody and to be a peacemaker and to go on for the glory of God.
Amen.
But them little misunderstandings rob you of joy. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you here today, you ain't got no joy because you don't go to church like you ought to go to church. And you can't stand it when I preach on stuff like that.
Amen.
Get mad, swell up, cock your chin back, pluck your shoulders out. But you just might as well just say, amen.
Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost of God say, you're guilty. Get it right. That fox is eating your grapes up. You got little misunderstandings. When I started preaching on that, that person come to your mind. Come to your heart. That situation come into you. That, listen to me. Instead of listen puffing up, you need to say, God, help me. With that, I want to have joy in my life.
Amen.
You know what the other little fox is? Little meditation.
Amen.
Some of you, you ain't opened up your Bible all week long. Right now is the first time. Some of you don't even bring a Bible.
Amen.
You just know it all.
Yeah.
You just know it all.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm going to get off that.
Preach
it. Little meditation. Little meditation. Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed, that means happy.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of sinners, or nor standeth in the way of the scorners. But his delight, verse 2 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate upon it day and night. And the Bible says in verse 3, Woody, hey, listen to me, that he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and he'll bring fruit in due season. Hey, listen to me. You know why? Some of you ain't got no fruit. You ain't planted nowhere. You know why? Some of you don't get no help because you don't meditate on the Word of God.
Amen.
You don't meditate on preaching. You don't get your soul fed. The Bible says faith come by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
It don't say faith come by just coming to church and sitting there for my 30 minutes and enduring, Brother Kevin. No, sir. You want your faith to grow? You better get in and get some Word of God in your heart.
Amen.
You meditate on everything else?
Yeah.
Boy, yeah.
Oh.
That's a little fox, brother.
Amen.
The devil is so good at giving you every little excuse, honey, for going the way you're going.
Yep.
He'll show you somebody down the road. He'll show you, Nathan, when you got saved, the devil showed you 15 sorry hypocrite Christians that claim the name of Christ, that don't have come to church, that fight and fuss with everybody, that don't know a thimble full of the Bible. The devil stole all that in front of you. But you got to keep on going and keep on walking, Jonathan, for the Lord, if you want to have joy in your life.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you here this morning. I don't want to see you walk around with no joy. I don't want to see you walk around defeated in your life. Listen to me, dear people. If you're living in sin, brother, if you're living in disobedience of this book, what this book says, you're not going to have perfect fellowship with the Lord. You're not going to have joy in your life. You're not going to be what God purposed you to be until you get your life in line with this book.
Amen.
You say, well, who are you? I'm just a man saved by the grace of God, called to God to preach. And God said that God's going to speak to you through His Word. It'd do you good to get your mouth off me and listen to what this book says and quit being a rebel and get under submission to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Who are you? I told you, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. The Bible said in Titus that God has manifested His Word through preaching. And Paul writes in Corinthians, that, listen to me, that the world in its wisdom knew not God, that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost.
Amen.
Glenn, he didn't say foolish preaching. He said the foolishness of preaching. Because this right here, what I'm doing, is a foolish thing. But you know why some of you don't got no joy? Because you never, ever meditate on the things of God. Everything else in the world takes precedence over God's house, over God's book, over God's ways. Everything else does. Show up here and give you 30 minutes, an hour and 30. Bless your heart. But I'm telling you right now, if you want joy in your life, like the Bible says in Psalm, meditate on it day and night. Amen. You'll see changes made in your life. Preacher, what other little fox is it? I'm about done. What other little fox is it that gets on us? You done hit me on the little fox, the little missus. That's killing some of them.
Oh, yeah.
Little missus. It ain't no big deal. Just blow it off. We first started this church, I had Saturday services, Brother Nicholas, before you come. I had Saturday services. I'd get embarrassed, Garrett. I'd invite preachers to come in here on Saturdays. Listen, to come and preach for us. Hey, listen to me. And listen, they wouldn't show up. They wouldn't come out. It'd be the same old 10. Hey, listen to me. It wasn't long after that. I said, well, if it don't pick up, I'm not a-doing that here. Hey, listen to me. Now, some of them said, let's have services on Sunday night. I said, if I have services on Sunday night, I'm going to get signed affidavits saying you have to be there. If you're going to be there, if I'm going to be there, bless God, and you're going to show your tail up and get something from the Word of God.
Amen.
Are you listening? Little misses kill you. Little misunderstandings. There's people that never going to don the doors of a church, Adam, because of a little old misunderstanding. And it's personality clashes. Oh, brother, it's a church snake. No, it ain't. You just got old sour attitude. She's got a sour attitude. Or he's got a sour attitude. Y'all just need to get right with God in the altar and get right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Little misunderstandings come in, brother, and they'll spoil the vine. Think about that. It'll kill it. You, listen, we need to endeavor to have the fellowship one with another. That means you got to work at it. You got to try it. What else, preacher? Little meditation. Don't give none of your time at all to the Word of God. No time at all to prayer. No time at all, listen to, no time at all to the things of God. I know what God says. And then you walk around saying, I don't have no joy. I'm trying to help you this morning so you can get that joy, that strength back in your life. Here's the last one. The little miracles. We just overlook little miracles. You know, Mark chapter 6, Bible says that the disciples got on a boat, Brother Garrett. Jesus told them, Jeff, to get on the boat. The Bible says that they went in that boat, and listen to me, and a fierce storm come against that boat. And 12 men, Jamie Branham, rowed all night long. Now think about this. 12 men in a boat. They're strong men. They rowed all night long. And they only got 25 furlongs. 25 furlongs. How far is that, preacher? That's 3 miles. They made it 3 miles. And listen to me. Rowing their boat all night long. They made it 3 miles. Listen to me. You're not going to go far with God rowing against the will of God.
Amen.
The wind represents the Spirit of God. And some of you here, you're rowing against Him and you ain't getting nowhere.
Yeah.
Amen. But the Bible says, watch this down, verse 52. The Bible said that Jesus come walking out to them on the water. They didn't recognize it was Jesus. Are you listening? And the Bible says He stepped up in their boat, calmed the storm. And the Bible says this in Mark 6:52, that they considered not the miracle
of the loaves.
Now think about this for a minute. In that same chapter, Jesus had took 5 hush puppies and 2 fish sticks and fed about 20,000 people. Hey, but here they are. They had forgot about that. They hadn't considered that. And we've got so many little miracles happens in our life that we look over and miss, and it robs us of the joy of the Lord. Stephanie's got a little miracle right there. Right here. It's a little miracle right here. You got a little baby. There's Corbin. He's a little miracle. Oh, Ellie back there is a little miracle. Jax is a little miracle. Jamie Newsom. I went down there and seen the miracle that you have down there. We just take that for granted, don't we? Little miracles of life born all around us. We take our life for granted. Ain't none of us promised another breath of air.
Nope.
It's amazing we use God's own air to curse His holy name. And He still has mercy on us.
Amen.
But we'll overlook His little miracles that He has in our lives. We've got life here today. You're sitting here today and in your right mind and in decent enough health to come out to church. And I dare say not one person in this building has said, "Thank you, Lord, for my life today. Thank you, Lord, I'm in my right mind today. Thank you, Lord, I've got life. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me life in my little home." I dare to say you went out and you've grumbled and you murmured and you've complained and you got no joy. Because you've overlooked the little miracles at God's place right in front of us. What about the miracle of love? Bible says in Psalms, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou get to know him?" Think about this for a minute, people. The God of all the universe. 7.5 billion people on this planet right now. And the God of all the universe shows up at a little old place on the side of the road at Little Robinson Creek and says, "I know you. I know you. I know what's going on with you. I love you. I know you. I know you. I know what you're praying about. I know you. I know what you struggle with. I know you. I know what's really bothering you right now. I know what's really hindering you right now. I know why you don't have no joy right now." That the God of all the universe comes by us and says, "I know why you withdraw yourself. I know why you're so lonely. I know why you feel so guilty. I know why you got all that shame." He comes by here of all the 7.5 a billion people, a God of heaven, and we count it a little thing when He comes by us and speaks to our hearts. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Despise not the day of small things." We despise it. Little Aiden right here opened up her Sunday school with prayer this morning. He opened up her Sunday school with prayer. Praise for his mommy, daddy on the altar. Despise not the day of small things. I believe we'd have a little bit more joy, Jamie, if we wouldn't overlook the little miracles that God does for us in our lives.
Amen.
Hey, man. You know, there's a soldier in World War II. He lived up in the 1980s. He was an older man. Every time he would pray, Drew, he would say, "And thank you, Lord, for spiders." Who thanked God today for a spider? Nobody has. But every time he would pray, he would say, "Thank you, God, for spiders. Thank you, God, for spiders." One day he's up in his 80s, and one day a little old boy came to him and he said, "Sir, you every time I hear you pray, you close your prayer out with, 'Thank you, God, for spiders.'" Here's what he said, Jamie. He said, "Well, I was in World War II and it was cold He said, and the enemy was chasing me. He said, and I went, the only place I could get was a cave. And he said, it wasn't a very deep cave. He said, I got back in that cave as far as I could get. He said, I climbed back in that cave as far as I could get. He said, I could hear the German soldiers' feet coming to get me. He said, all of a sudden, I looked in the mouth of that cave. He said, a little old spider dropped down, and it started weaving a web. He said, I just was enamored watching that spider weave that web. He said, I thought any minute now I'm going to die. I began to pray and I said, thank you God for wonderful parents. Thank you God for a blessed life that I've had. He said, the whole time I was praying, that old spider, Gary, it just going back and forth. He said, their feet was getting closer. My heart was beginning to beat. He said, one of them come right to that and looked in that cave. He said, I was hid back there as far as I could get. And that soldier said, we ain't went in here because the spider webs hung right here. And he said, and they went on their way. And I laid back in there and I said, thank you, God, for the spider, that web, that little web that saved my life. Boy, listen to me. How many little things do we overlook in our lives that God has blessed us and brought our way and kept us, but we overlook it. And we've lost our joy because of it. Let's stand this morning. Jamie, can you get mercy for us?